Good morning.
Good morning.
If everyone will please take your bulletins, we're going to stand and read our responsive reading together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name.
Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him. Sing praises to him.
Tell of all his wondrous works.
Glory in his holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for a thousand generations. Praise the Lord.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being in your house this morning, and we thank you for the blessing of the rain this week. And we just ask you to enter our hearts as we continue to worship you this morning. Guide and direct this worship according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
If you will turn in your hymnals to hymn number 63. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 5 of All Creatures of Our God and King. Beautiful Sunday morning. For the announcements, Thursday the 16th at 10 a.m. Bible study. Saturday the 18th is the Mary Soup Kitchen, so Carrie's group is serving. Monday the 20th at 7 is the Women's Auxiliary Meeting. Wednesday, February 22nd at 6:30 is choir practice. Don't y'all love our choir? We'll take more wealth. We'll take extra people. Tuesday, March the 21st at 7 is a deacon's meeting. Are there any other announcements?
The Deep Run Rotary Club meets in the fellowship hall tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. If anybody would like to join us, we'd love to have you, because we're down to about 8 members, isn't it?
And we need people with strong backs and weak minds over here in the
west wing to set, right after service to talk about installing a ramp this week.
Anything else?
Is there a car up there?
Nope.
There he is. I'll get it, Mike.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. At this time, Tony has our scripture reading.
Good morning, family.
Morning. Morning.
The Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in this season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. New Testament reading is Luke 6:17-26. It's page 838 in the Pew Bible. Page 838. Okay. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you, on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when you speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. and was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when he reached down his hand for me.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Just wanted to read a card, as was indicated earlier, and it says, just want to thank you. We would like to sincerely thank you for the love and support that you showed PAC and Troop 447 on Scout Sunday. May God bless you all. It was a good group of people, and I think a good time was had by all. Before we go to prayer, any special requests this morning?
Oh, days.
Our country.
Well, let us keep all these folks in mind as we go to the Lord in prayer, and obviously let us remember all our blessings. We've had a wet Sunday this morning, and we need the rain. I think the weatherman said we should be out of a drought now. I don't see how, but anyway, we'll be out of a drought. I didn't realize we're in one, but let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Churches, the people in your churches, and especially for the church on the hill, that you would guide this church to be the beacon, the light, and show us the vision that you want us to have, that you want us to move forward with. I pray for all our brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they are, whatever's going on. We pray for all the people that have suffered, the tragedies we watched on TV this week, the earthquake, continual bombings in Ukraine, and other places all around the world, Lord. You're so good. Just be with them, and whatever your will is, let it be done. We ask that you guide us. Be with Frank as he brings us our morning message. And let us that message come from you, that we all soak it up, and it makes a difference in who we are and what we do. I pray all these things in your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to 499. We're going to stand and sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of I Will Sing the Wondrous Story.
Yes, I sing the
Father, as we come here to your house this morning to worship you, Father, and for you to bless us, we can't help but mention the ones that started this church, the givers. It started right here, where these plates were passed. You touched lives, Father, to make a difference in our life this day. Father, I just want you to know for the teachers, the leaders, that have spent many weekends and trips to touch us so we would serve to build your kingdom at a time when we need it so much. I just ask as we walk, Father, please bless the ones that are given and let them know it is being used for the building of your kingdom and to save many people from torture. We ask all this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. As you can tell, our pastor's not with us today, and thank goodness this Grubbs is not giving the message this morning, because I started out in Sunday school with the wrong piece of scripture, but somehow or another we pulled it out. And anyway, without further ado and further explanation, this Grubbs is going to leave, and that one on the front row is going to take my place. And when I called Uncle Frank, he was very gracious and agreed to come and share the word with us this morning. And you guys have seen him here. It's been quite a few years, but he and Karen, his wife, they sang in the choir for a period of time, and a lot has gone on since they were here, not to mention gray hairs on both our parts. But without further ado, Mr. Frank Grubbs.
Thank you, Chris. See if I can move some of this and need some room. I'm probably a year or two behind on scripture lessons. My lesson for today is going to be an Old Testament lesson from 2 Kings. I want you to know that Karen sends her best to you. She would be here today, but she was asked by the clerk of court, of all people, in Johnston County to assist her. Apparently, the law firms or the court system is going to a new software program where almost everything is going to be done online. And they've asked Karen to be the first one to submit documents online so that they know that the system is up and running for tomorrow. So she is working hard today to make sure that that system is up and running tomorrow. But she sends her regrets and wished that she could be with you. I did get her some flowers last month for her birthday, and I want you to know that she has kept those things alive this whole time. I don't even have to buy Valentine's flowers now. In fact, the closest we get to celebrating Valentine's is eating a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios that are shaped like hearts. Realize too that it's been a while since I've been here. This is as close to coming back to home as I have, as my pastorates have sort of taken me from here to yonder. You even let me use the pulpit when a church came calling, wanted to hear me preach to see if I was good enough stuff to be their pastor. And I have appreciated that all these years. Not only, though, is Valentine's coming up. My daughter's birthday is tomorrow. My little brother's birthday is the next day. Someone once asked him if your birthday is on Valentine's Day. Has it always been on Valentine's Day? And he responded with his dry wit and said, "Well, so far." And there was one other occasion I want to share with you before I go to the message. A group of us ministers were traveling by van somewhere down east. Adrian and I were in the van, probably another Grubbs or so. And Joe Crumpler and D. Eakes. And we came by this church, nice looking church off the road. And the name of the church was Maranatha. And Joe Crumpler, in his wisdom, said, "What in the world does Maranatha mean?" And Adrian put on his theological face and said, "Well, comes from the Old Testament." And loosely translated into English, it means holy mackerel. And still keeping a straight face as if that were literally true. And it might be. But I want to share with you a lesson from 2 Kings. It's a favorite story, 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And I want to share with you a theme, just in case you get the same problem that Bill has and you drop your head. So I'm going to give you a theme. Sometimes our healing or our help come to us from, well, unexpected sources. God sends us help, but it's not always from where we expected that help to come. We have gone through the Advent season, even Epiphany, we're in that. Jesus Christ came to us. God is in the form that we did not expect. And we must forego our prejudices of just how God must act and pray for the openness to the movement of God among us. We have to forego our prejudices to realize God's moving among us. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army. The Lord had helped him and his troops defeat their enemies, so the king of Syria respected Naaman very much. Naaman was a brave soldier, but he had leprosy. One day, while the Syrian troops were raiding Israel, they captured a girl, and she became the servant of Naaman's wife. Sometime later, the girl said, "You know, if your husband Naaman would go to the prophet in Samaria, he would be cured of his leprosy." When Naaman told the king what the girl had said, the king replied, "Well, go ahead. I will give you a letter to take to the king of Israel." Naaman left and took along 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 new outfits. He also carried the letter to the king of Israel. It said, "I am sending my servant Naaman to you. Would you cure him of his leprosy?" When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in fear and he shouted, "That Syrian king believes I can cure this man of leprosy. Does he think I'm God with power over life and death? He must be trying to pick a fight with me." As soon as Elisha, the prophet, heard what had happened, he sent the Israelite king this message: "Why are you so afraid? Send the man to me so that he will know there is a prophet in Israel." Naaman left with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent someone outside to say to him, "Go wash 7 times in the Jordan River, then you'll be completely cured." But Naaman stormed off, grumbling, "Why couldn't he come out to talk to me? I thought for sure he would stand in front of me and pray to the Lord his God, and then wave his hand over my skin and cure me. What about the river, Abana River? What about the Abana River or the Parfar River? Those rivers in Damascus are just as good as any river in Israel. I could have washed in them, and I could have been cured. His servants went over to him, and he said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something difficult, you would have done it. So why don't you just do what he said? Go, wash, be cured." Naaman walked down to the Jordan. He waded out into the water, and he stooped down in it 7 times. Just as Elisha had told him. And right away, he was cured, and his skin became as smooth as a child's. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Isn't that a charming story? The story of the healing of Naaman, this great high and mighty officer of the Syrian army, and this miraculous healing from the dreaded disease of leprosy. Isn't it just a charming, wonderful story? Now, presumably, Naaman has gone from doctor to doctor trying to get help and relief from this dreaded disease, and he's gotten none. It's only gotten worse. And a little servant girl in Naaman's employ, maybe I shouldn't use that word, but learning of her master's plight, makes a suggestion. Her lord and master ought to go present himself to the great prophet of Israel and seek his help. Her care for her Naaman is, well, it's remarkable. I mean, after all, this young woman has been carted off from her people after some Syrian raid in her community. And she has been cast into slavery. And yet she recommends that he travel to Israel and get help. And one can just imagine the shock that Naaman felt at hearing this prescription that has been given to him for his healing. Israel was, after all, was just a nothing sort of place. And that this great pagan lord, this great warrior, should lower himself to go on bended knee to Israel of all places with his hands outstretched in humiliation. You wouldn't believe what this little Hebrew girl told me. Naaman says to his king, and to Naaman's surprise again, the king thinks that it's a good idea. Go ahead. He even sends Naaman packing with a letter of commendation. And though the king of Israel is suspicious, now, rightfully so, probably, of this royal visitor from Syria, God's prophet Elisha sends word through his servant that Naaman should go and wash in the River Jordan 7 times. Naaman is absolutely furious. He storms out at this ridiculous suggestion. Are not Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus far superior to this little measly creek of a river that's called Jordan, this Jewish stream? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. Mighty Naaman's servants come to him. Look, if you had been asked to do something difficult, you would have done it. You would have done it. But all that God's prophet is asking you is to go and wash in that river and be clean. Why don't you give it a try? I don't know about you, but I think that mighty Naaman, this powerful, rich Naaman, had to humble himself to do what he was told. He submitted, he washed himself into Jordan, and he was healed. Now, I realize that this is an old story from the Old Testament, and it doesn't mention Jesus at all. But what I am saying to you is that this story is a parable of what it's like to be made whole by God in Jesus Christ. In today's, well, if I had selected a gospel lesson, you know which one it would have been. The story in Mark about Jesus healing a leper. Jesus heals that leper, a nameless man, just like mighty Naaman, and both are a victim of this dreaded disease of the day. And thus Jesus stands in line with the prophets like Elisha. Jesus is right there. God's servants who perform God's healing work. But I also want to remind you that many looked at Jesus and they were absolutely astounded that this common rabbi from Nazareth was a means of God's healing power. We keep thinking that God is high and he's mighty, he's lifted up, he's distant, he is detached. And in Christ, we keep being surprised that God is with us. And that same dynamic that occurred in General Naaman of Syria back then, I think still occurs today in the church, even right here. There are people sitting here this morning, I will guarantee, right in this congregation, who can testify to having been met by God, having been touched by God, and maybe even having been healed by God through the ministrations of some ordinary person in this congregation. An incarnate Savior works through ordinary people to work his divine teachings. That's one reason why I am sort of saddened, especially now, when someone says to me, there's no way I'm going to that church. The church is still, it's just full of a bunch of self-righteous, judgmental hypocrites. And sometimes they even add, and I'm too spiritual for that bunch. Well, what I want to say to them, but I don't, I bite my tongue. I say, everybody in the church is a miserable sinner. And some of our sin is definitely self-righteous and even hypocrisy. So don't worry. You ought to come to church because you'll fit right in. I'm also sad that by their words, they indicate that they have misunderstood the Christian faith. Maybe even misunderstood God himself. If we are going to be saved, and by the way, saved is not in the past. You are being saved. If we are going to be saved, if we shall be healed, it will be on God's terms, not ours. And God's terms are through an ordinary-looking, lowly, suffering Jew from Nazareth. And the ordinary, lowly, suffering people through whom he works. So yes, Jesus probably should have called and chosen someone else to go and bear fruit. I fought the calling in my life for a number of years. And said there's no way that he can use me. Not with all the baggage and junk and crap that I'm pulling behind me. We do have our limitations. Yes, you've got your limitations. And yet, by God's grace, and the stories and actions of Jesus, we believe that God is making a decisive move upon the world, working through limited people from whom God commissions and God empowers. So I want you to believe that God knows what God is doing when he calls someone like you. When he calls someone like you and me to witness to the kingdom. He knows what he's doing. Now, I'll tell you, I have questioned him many a time on what he's doing. Calling somebody like me, or calling on people like us to look after his creation, we've sure made a mess of it. And I have to admit to you that the shoes that I try to wear are too big for me. They're too big for you. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. And you can have your doubts and you can have your fears and you can even have your big reservations. And we're all a bundle of limitations and weaknesses. But the good news is that Jesus is willing to work with all that. We don't have to reach a certain standard before God accepts us. He accepts us where we are, as we are, and he's willing to work with us from there. The composition of the citizenry of the kingdom is not really up to us, it's the prerogative of the king. Salvation belongs not to any of us, but to the Lamb, to the one who sits on the throne. The guest list is God's, and God has done everything necessary for us to join the party. And God invites all. Right now and right here, that invitation is still for all. And when we start putting up barriers that limits people to access to the church, no matter what they are, we're limiting God's kingdom. Thank God that although Jesus preaches righteousness, he also loves to forgive sinners. Sinners who are either his worst enemies or his closest friends. But all are sinners. The first letter of Peter, I'm going to end with this. It speaks to all Christians. All the baptized, absolutely every one of them. It's not just the church's specially trained leaders or the clergy when it says that everybody in the body of Christ is a part of the royal priesthood. Not priest in the church, but priest out in the world. And here's the quote. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Be bearers of that light. Be Christ in the world. May we pray. Lord Jesus, Son of God, Savior of the world, healer of the nations and of our troubled souls, we keep being surprised by you, and we truly thought that God was high and lifted up, even aloof from us, until you came and stood next to us. And we do think of religion as an experience of some other world, some other time and place. And yet, here you are, right with us, right now, as the God that we didn't expect. And in your body, the church, we keep being bothered that your church, even this church, seems often so mundane and lowly. And it concerns so petty and trivial. So it's hard for us to believe that your church, this church, is truly your church. Help us to understand that we really are the incarnation in the world. So give us eyes of faith to see you among us, with us, so that seeing your presence with us, we might more fully walk and serve with you. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is an opportunity for you to worship God through commitment. Our altar is open for any needs that you have. As we turn to hymn number 483, singing verses 1 and 2, A Savior is Waiting. Let us remain standing for our benediction and the extinguishing of the candles, and you'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this day and this time of worship. We wish to honor you as we leave this place, taking the light that you put within us and sharing it with the world. Help us to be your church. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.